I have no fellowship during the week. I live a pretty lonely life. I live by myself, and I can do anything I want to do, but I spend 4 or 5 hours a day. Honestly, I'll average 4 or 5 hours a day studying the Bible, praying, and kissing the Word of God. And this is where I got the wisdom to make the money. And I love to claim God's promises and read the Bible. And there's not enough money to get you all to go and see my living room and one of my bedrooms where I unloaded everything from Hawaii. Been there 6 months, 2 big suitcases and a half. And with work, I don't know how many envelopes fit the legal size I've got to open. And so I'll start getting on that now. So I just there 2 days and I came here. But to be around and people say, I don't fellowship dinner week. I don't hardly ever eat out. I do my own cooking. And so one of the reasons why I haven't married yet, and I haven't met a woman to cook better than I can. Especially those who put sugar in the cornbread. That's cake.
Yeah.
But I'd love to be around God's people. I don't run around rich people. Don't do it. Only thing holds them together is dough. I have very few rich friends. You're my friends. If I was here in this town, I'd be eating cornbread. If I had the choice of going home, some rich people in Europe said, he's got a big mansion, he's going to feed you steak and... What does rich millionaires eat? Steak and caviar? I don't know what it is. And all that rich food. Boy, he said, I've got a poor family here. They're barely getting along. They're going to have cornbread and pinto beans and fried taters. I said, you tell that millionaire to eat by himself. I'm going home with my people. And so I honestly don't run around with them. There's one man. His name is Jim Bossy. You know him? He's Catholic. I got saved about 50 years old. Dr. Fugate introduced me to him. He bought a shopping center, he and his wife, and remodeled it. And he gave that shopping center, he got saved as a Catholic, and he gave that shopping center to God's work. He's got a Jehovah Jireh. Oh, I told Brother Bush about him. He got $45,000. He has a meeting once. He has a board. He takes all that shopping center money and he gives it, puts it in a fund, and helps people, pastors starting churches. There's certain qualifications you have to do. Now, I'll talk to him 3 or 4 times a year. Now, I kid him. I said, looks to me like now that you'd get twin sisters that is with us. And we'd marry him, you and I'd become brother-in-laws. I kid him a lot, but we have fellowship. He has a meeting twice a year with the board, and they decide who they're going to support. And I got Brother Bush call him and filled out an application. He qualified, and I think he got $45,000 of it. And so, but he helps churches, but he's got a few dollars. And today we was talking about Brother Smith, you know, down in Ohio. I tell you what the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to talk more about the Holy Spirit tonight. I'm going to read again, I guess, what I read this morning. Failure on the part of the church to magnify the Holy Ghost in his ministry and activity has produced paralysis. A deadness has come upon all of us in efforts to make the world believe that there are in vain the modern understanding of that. But see, this doctrine of the Holy Spirit, I want to introduce you to it. Everything that's been done that you read there, the Holy Spirit did it through me. And he wants to use us, but we have to depend upon him and live for him. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. I want you to realize God the Father, when Jesus baptized, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son. And Jesus was in the water, this is God in the heaven, and Jesus in the water, and the Holy Ghost descended on him in the form of a dove. So they're God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now when Stephen was stoned to death in Acts chapter 8, as a stone was bouncing off of his head, he looked up in heaven and saw God the Father and Jesus sitting on his right hand. That means God's going to destroy the earth with his left hand. And laugh. But yeah, see, so God the Father and God the Son's up there. Now the Holy Spirit's here. And the Holy Spirit wants to use us, as I told this morning a little bit, just laid the foundation, I ran out of time. And so, but I'm here to teach you why that D.L. Moody, fourth grade education, shook 2 continents, saw 1 million people saved, greater than 1 million people, and no education. But he talks about the Holy Spirit, men who God has used to talk about the Holy Spirit. Dr. Jack Hiles had the power of God on him. He knocked on the door one night, and man came to the door. He had two or three men in there with him and some families having a party and drinking. Oh, he said, here's that Reverend Howell. Come on in, Reverend Howell. Preach a little sermon. He said, told him, let me toast a beer to your Jesus. And so he said, yeah, you're a preacher. And I said, you're a fake. And he said, wait a minute. I'm not what everything should be, but I'm not a fake. I said, from the bottom of my head, at the top of my head, the bottom of my feet, I'm all for God. I'm a man of God. He said, you're a fake. He said, you say that one more time, I'm going to put my hand on your head and pray for God to kill you. And if you're still standing there after I pray, I'm a fake. But if you're dead, you know I'm not. He said, don't pray. Huh? Now, buddy, it takes something to say like that. And so, but the Holy Spirit of God, and so, it's Brother Smith I was talking about. Let me show you how the Holy Spirit works. I walked in his first teach Sunday school last year. I've come in the door back here, and everybody back here talking. There's one girl sitting down here by herself, long hair. Praise God for her. I walked down, now she's down there. Now, I'd been with the Holy Spirit that morning. See, this morning I've spent at least two hours. And so, trying to get my heart right and making sure that I'm dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God to use me. And so, I walked in there, and I saw that girl down there, and I said, well, she's sitting by herself. I walked down, maybe she's a bus girl or something. And I got talked to her, spoke to her, and she was introvert. She didn't look up, a nice-looking girl. And I said, I brought sin in, so I said, it's good that after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God that sent Jesus to die for it, isn't it? She didn't know what I was talking about. And so she hadn't been taught that. I said, are you on the bus today? She said, yeah. And I said, and she was introvert. I said, do you know that you have 11 fingers? No, she said, I have 10. I have 11. Come here, Brother Nash. Put her whole hand up like that. You don't know you got 11. Now, come here. Come here. And she said, no, I'm not. I said, all right, let me put them up here now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5 is how many? Now, look, I'll do it again. Here's 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5. She said, do that again. you understand? Yeah? Yeah. Ten fingers. One, two, three. Now you go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5. How many? You got 11. And then somebody else come out. Then she kind of come out of the shell. Now, she's in a church the first time. She came on a bus. Now, later on, found out she didn't have a mother. Her grandmother raised her. Her mother died. She's just a young girl. I think about 13 years old, I think. And so I said, show this girl here that how she's got 11 fingers. And she did. I won her over. And I told the pastor, I said, I don't think she's saved. And I didn't watch her in the auditorium. And I told another woman, I said, you watch this lady here, the girl here, and maybe she'll get saved. And in there, when she was in there, she came forward and was saved. Somebody dealt with her. And that evening, she was the best Christian in that church the rest of the day. You know how I know? She brought somebody to church with that. Another teenage girl that night. Never had heard the gospel. And so I gave the invitation, and that she came down with that girl. And I heard a personal worker right here tell them, said, you need to pray and ask Jesus. And she said, that's what I did this morning. So she became a soul. That's what I did this morning. So I got saved. Said, you need to get saved. She got saved. Both of them came. They had a book to sign. They come up here, and I pulled out $10 bills like fast, put it on here. And I said, here, I'm going to give you something. Give her $10. Here, $10. I want to buy them something and other. And so they'd have a little spending money to go home. And so I told the pastor about it the next day. And I was talking to one of the associate pastor's wife. I said, you know, my heart broke for that girl. I found out she don't have a mama. And her mama died, sitting with her grandma, and she was rough, the bus girls. And I said, if I could, I'd love to take her shopping. And I do a lot of poor girls this way, not by myself. My mama or somebody go with me. I'll let somebody else buy clothes. I was in Walmart last year. Well, I'm going off on another one now. I was in Walmart last year, and they put a sale on clothes. I bought $3,200 worth of clothes for $320, a dollar currency on every item. I went in the took them to church that night, and one woman said, I've got 5 kids. I got enough clothes now them for the next few years, handing me down. Now back to the other story. Where was that?
sent that girl.
Yeah, and so I said, I'd like to buy her some clothes. I said, if I give you $100, will you take her shopping? And she said, yes, I will. I said, okay, here's $100. I told her next morning, Pastor Smith's taking me to the airport. I told her about it. I said, Pastor, by the way, I said, since that girl don't have no help, if I give you $200, will you have a family get me about five or six women in the church will take her to McDonald's, and I'll buy both of them McDonald's? And she said, yeah. I forget now, it's $100 or $200 I left with him, maybe another $100. I called him a couple of weeks out of going. He said, Russ, Brother Anderson, you just don't know what you did in my church. It's on fire that you, as a millionaire, would want to buy her some clothes. And said they're taking her to church, they're taking her to McDonald's and feeding them. And so, and I said, well, Pastor, how about me just continue to do that? Can you get, if I send you another $200, something like that, a mail, will you continue to take that girl? See, you got to disciple them. The fastest church is growing in Hawaii and around now, they got a disciple program. Somebody comes in like today, is that, you shake hands, you walk. There's one church in there, a man went right downtown and started a church about 3 years ago, and I walked to it 20 minutes from my condo. And old dilapidated buildings, now right all around them is multi-million dollar, billion dollar buildings and big condos and that. Slum, I've seen those men and I overdosed, used to there. Right in the bar, no parking. And he started a church, and he run pretty close to 250 right now. Third year. But I'll tell you what, the first thing he do, they sing about three or four songs, five. Now he said, somebody beside of you there is their first time here, and I want you to shake their hands and tell them what God has done for you today, or what good thing has happened to you. Now you make them well. For 15 minutes. Now I'm timed them. 15 minutes. Let's go around shaking hands and that. And so, and they'll ask you all about yourself. And let's go first. I don't know how many has asked me, is your first time here? And no. And so, but it's growing. It's the disciple program. And it's growing so fast, and then they have an night a week where that they'll have. Now, this week here, we're going to have one family, every old family invite somebody over for a meal. We're going to go out on the beach here and have a picnic or something another one day. And the church is growing leaps and bounds because the people are friendly, like the people today. What they said about your church today reminded me. Be friendly. If you and I are traveling, we're going to a strange first church, we don't feel welcome. That, you know, we're a little afraid we'll do something wrong. Make them feel welcome and invite them over and tell them what Jesus had done for you. And so, but with down in Brother Smith, and I haven't talked to him since I sent him the last money down there. That's what showed her she had, but she got saved. And so the girl did, and then got someone else saved. But now, one time I went to Dr. Jack Howes. I'm laying the foundation about the Holy Spirit now. I went to Dr. Jack Howes. I said, Dr. Howes, I'm winning 10, 12 people a week to the Lord. I said, yes, I was worth $300,000 or $400,000. I'm thinking about quitting the business world, and I'd like to be a visitation pastor. I'm not qualified to be a pastor, but I said, I don't know about the Bible, but I can teach people how to win souls. So if I take you soul winner, I want you to sit there and listen to me. I want to do the talking. Don't you interrupt me. I want to train you. And so I'll get in your house, and I'll tell you where to sit, and I'll sit, and I'll take control of the whole house, and you won't know it. And so I want to train you. So I told Dr. Howes, what do you think about it? I said, give me some advice. Should I quit the business world and just go start teaching people how to win souls? And he looked me in and said, Russ, the world needs to see a businessman that can build a business, live a separated life, and go soul winning and not drink and not have to run around the devil's crowd. I want to advise you to stay in business. Now, that's folks, I hadn't listened to that man. You just read the stats. If I was to tell you, stand up here and tell you, there's a guy going to speak in our church next Sunday, and for the last 15 years, he's seen over 3,000 people a day saved with his money. Ah, you're lying. That's unbelievable. But with all God, all things are possible. Now, I send the money over there. I don't do the counting. And there's some people, they said, you're going to go to hell. You're going to answer to God. Ain't those kind of figures. I said, no, I'm not. I don't do the count. I just do the paying. And I said, I'll pay your way over there and back if you want to go over and audit. But if you go over and it's right, you have to pay your own way right back. And so the count, do the auditing. I've been there. I've seen men that pay those people go so well. They have to give a list and that. But that's what God did. And so I want you to turn your Bible tonight to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And the first few nights, few minutes, is going to be teaching, and it's going to be hard to keep your attention. But after I lay the foundation to the message, and then it will get more interesting later on. So please give me time to lay the foundation. And so I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1. And so it says, talking about Jesus and his conception. Let's see, 126. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, the spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among the women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What kind of a greeting is this? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a child, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I've never slept with a man. And how can I have a baby? And then here's what she said. And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest overshadow thee. Therefore all that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her age, and that was John the Baptist, she hath. And said, verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto you according to thy word. She said, All right, I'll give you my body. And so it be it. And so this was, it is the virgin birth. And the next thing in chapter 2, verse 16, chapter 2, now let me lay a foundation to them, 2:16, and when, the child was born, and the shepherd was out in the field, and they saw the star, which was prophesied would be, they followed the star, and they came, verse 2:16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Jesus lying in the manger. Then having room for them, I said, I wish I'd have been there. I'd take my money. I'd bought the whole inn and run everybody out myself. Wouldn't it be let me give this stop here. Just let me grab it a little bit. Wouldn't it be wonderful you and I were born by using a manager? We could bought him a little bassinet or something, a swing, and put him in. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if we bought him some clothes and diapers and what we have today and taken over today? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could bought him some clothes? Wouldn't it be an honor to buy a quote? Huh? I'll tell you how we can still do it. I tell you how we can still do it. Now, here I go over fox hunting again. This is not in my notes. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, 24, something like that. I'll tell you to do it. We can still do it. We can still do it. You might be in trouble. Just give me a minute there. Matthew 25. And so this minute now 25. And he said in verse 35, of 25, 35, Jesus said, For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then verse 37, Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger, and took thee in, and naked, and clothed thee? Well, when we saw thee sick, and or in prison, and came to thee? And the king answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, insomuch that you have done it to the least one of these, you have done it to me. You find somebody today, some child. I read an illustration the other day where a little boy had went to a mission and was saved and didn't have no shoes running around. He's bragging on Jesus. And one of the critics said, If Jesus loves you so much, why don't you tell somebody to buy you a pair of shoes? He said, I think he has, but they didn't listen. Is that an indictment against us? He said, Now, in that you did it to one of the least of these, and you least of my brethren, you have done it to me. And so, when we help some poor person us and feed them, we have done for Jesus. He said it there. They're down and out. Now, back to Luke. I just thought I'd diverse there. What an honor it would be to buy Jesus some clothes and that back then. We can still do it by helping someone else. And so, now in 2 chapter 2:16, Jesus in the manger, 2:16. And so that means next here. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning. And so they found him in the, and verse 21, and when he was 8 days, and when the 8 days were accomplished, as for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. And so, and verse 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses accomplished. Now, we don't know much about Jesus until his virgin birth, until he's about 12 years old when he was found in the temple. You know, his mother and dad had come to the temple to worship and had gone back. And chapter 3 in verse 16, now be with me just a few more minutes till I lay the foundation. Chapter 3, verse 16, it says, John angel said unto them, oh, I didn't baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, that's the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to know that, notice that, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so, and then it says, and whose fan is in, 17, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will he burn with fire and quenching. And many other things in this exhortation preached he unto the people. So here it says, and then verse 18, let's see, 18, no, I'm looking at something. Matthew 4, Luke 3:20, okay. Now, Luke 3:21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus had been baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a body shaped like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. So from 12 years old to 30, we know not too much what happened. But we know he was raised as a carpenter's son, and we believe that he is, Joseph taught him to be a carpenter work. Verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years old, and being the son of Joseph, son of Heli. And then it says here in verse 23, and Jesus himself being about 30 years of age, been as forth. Then, now little known about Jesus, up until he's 12 years old. Now here it is, he's 30 years old. Now, here's down to the message. I'm getting down to the message. Listen up. The first 30 years of Jesus' life, he never preached a sermon. He said it's a scripture. But he never preached a sermon. He never performed a miracle. He never healed anyone. But he never won a soul. And so, but something happened to him when he's in the water, and the Holy Spirit descended on him of the form of a dove. And then he preached his, from when he was filled with the Spirit of God, did his first miracle. And John 5, it tells, he turned the water into wine. Now, I heard a story one night of a black preacher that was up 3:30 in the morning swerving across the road. The police got behind him. And so pulled him over and said, I noticed you were driving back and forth across the line. Where you been tonight? He said, I've been out visiting some of my people. I'm a preacher. He said, you've been out 3:30 in the morning visiting your members of the church, yeah? He said, I doubt that. He said, that white bottle there you got in the seat there, what you got in that bottle? He said, that's water. He said, let me see it. He smelled it and touched it. That's not water. And he said, praise God, he's done it again. Turn the water on. Had to get your attention. But Jesus never won a soul now until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the title of my message. Holy Spirit, if you teach me what you taught Jesus, then I can do many things that Jesus did. I can feed the poor. I can win souls. That's what Jesus did. And so that's the title of my message tonight is this. It says that if you do for me, Holy Spirit, if you do for me what you did for Jesus, and that's what I do. I depend on the Holy Spirit of God, you see. See, Jesus filled the Holy Spirit of God, and you and I can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I preached this morning, granted, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in. But Luke 24:49, Jesus said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so, in Acts 1:8, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak that when they were filled, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. And so, and then, so after the Holy Spirit came up, now, Holy Spirit, if you teach me, then I can do it. Now, let me give you a scripture. Turn to Acts chapter 10. To Acts chapter 10. Now, let me lay the foundation. I'm going to show you something. It's going to shock you. Acts chapter 10. I changed the message tonight right before I got in here. 10, I would have had these marked. And so, Acts 10, now look at verse 38. I'll back up. I'm going to lay a foundation into scripture, what I just said. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, what did God do with Jesus? Anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil, for the God was with him. So what Jesus began to do, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, he left all his deity at home. He in heaven, he came to earth as a man to die as a man. So what Jesus did, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. To that, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Did he do it before he was filled with the Holy Spirit? No. Can you and I do it without the Holy Spirit? No. I made plain this morning in the Sunday school that it's about the Holy Spirit of God. Without him, you can do that. John 2:1-6 is where he turned the water into wine. That's the first miracle he done. John, and then John 2:11, at the beginning of the miracles is Jesus and the Cana of Galilee. Note what happened in his baptism. And the Holy Ghost descended on him in a shape like a dove upon him. And like a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Luke 4:13. Now, Luke, I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 4 and show what he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I can do the same thing. The old devil will try to get you and I to sin. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Now, what Jesus did. Now, Jesus never won any souls to Christ until he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Neither can you not do it. The Holy Spirit's got to work through us. Chapter 4. Here it is. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days of the devil. In those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward was hungry. Now, you hadn't eaten anything in 2 days, you'd be hungry. He's 40. Now, the devil knows right our weakest point, how to try to tempt us. So I'd read the time work this morning. I wish I had time to preach on it tonight. God knows what we're thinking, thinking. Before we say it, he knows everything we do, what we're going to do. And the devil said, verse 3, and the devil said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Now, I think I would have failed there. I think I'd made bread. You know, he's hungry. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil took him up into high mountains and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whomsoever will I give it." Someone has written he's trying to get Jesus to the crown him before the cross. Jesus wasn't crowned after the cross, you see. See, the devil knows exactly where our weakest point. I tell you, when a husband and a wife be tempted to cheat on one another, if when you're having a quarrel and there's difficulties, and believe it or not, my wife and I, we had one. one million. And so, me and my wife had more trouble with me whipping the children, dissing my children, and anything else. And so, I know some great preachers. I know I heard Dr. John Rice one time, a great giant he was. He turned this world upside down, and you'll hear his preaching in his younger days in the revivals. And he whipped his little daughter, once 5, 6 years old, and he said, "I thought I wanted to have to divorce my wife." Said, "I saw the prince I left on her." And so said, "Well, she's just a precious little lady." "Yeah, but she disobeyed." And so there's a lot of difficulties over children. My advice is, if you got young children, you sit down and you figure out, and you agree, on paper, you agree. If they lie, they get some kind of a punishment. You got to watch them by putting marks on them today. My daddy didn't know that. You'll see what he put on me at times. With a big mining belt. You can't do it. But they ought to figure out some kind of a punishment, like to go stand in the corner for 30 minutes or not watching television. You make the penalty worse or not doing something they like, take some privileges away from. You ought to agree on that, so when it happens, you've already agreed. Now, you better listen to this old man, 87 years old. I've been a little bit of nights. There's honey out of the honeymoon because I whipped him. And so how'd you get me off on that? I don't know. And, oh, Jesus been full of the Holy Ghost, yeah. And said, and the devil, the devil knows this exactly. Now, it's when that you and your wife sometimes are going to be having a difficulty, he turned a mean as old looking woman into an angel of light. Tell you. I say this a lot of times. Ladies, you might be thinking it's nice if your husband make a lot of money. You pray for him to make a lot of money. But if you're not qualified, you better watch, because he started making more money than he needs. He'll buy a new car while you're home taking care of the kids. He'll be out. He'll trade you in for a younger woman. It can happen. That's when it happens. But money is a hard thing. It tore up more marriages. The smartest man in the world, Solomon, look what he had. He had 700 wives. You imagine what he had to go through the bathroom and worn 700 pair of nylons hanging down. And so I don't think he's very smart. He's very smart. And look, if you'd been warning his wife, you'd just sleep with him one night every 2 years. You wouldn't want him as a son-in-law. And so, but the devil knows exactly when to tempt us, you see. You see? And so that the devil, let's see now, back on track before I'm telling you what Jesus did in the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he offers that, young people, he offers that today. And mom and dad, the devil take him up in the high mountain and showed him all the kingdom in a moment of time. And the devil said, all this power that I've given in the glory of them for it delivered to me, whom I can give it to anybody that want to. So, if thou will worship me, all shall be thine. The devil offers you and I the world today to turn our back upon Jesus and turn, and that the temptation's constant all the time. I know the devil tempts you because he tempts me. He reminds me of every mean thing. I'd be praying a lot of time, then I'll think about something awful I did. Now, God's forgiven me. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white. God forgives every sin that we've ever committed. God, he had written down. And so he said, I'll cast my sins behind me, back. I'll never remember them no more. God's forgiven us, but the old devil reminds us of tempting us, trying to get us. There's pleasure in sin. But the wages of sin is death, too. But he knows exactly when to tempt you and I. That's why we need to stay close to God. That's why Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you need to be in the house of God. You see? And so, verse 41 said, Jesus, when full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. So the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, see, you know what? Now let me teach you something here. You know how Jesus defeated the devil? By quoting Scripture. Get behind me, Satan. It's written, man does not live bread alone. And so then it says here, and then if you go up, over here in verse 9, he brought him into Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle. And I've been there, I've seen that pinnacle. In the temple, and said to him, thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down hence. It's written, he shall give the angels charge over thee. See, the devil's quoting Scripture out of the context. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time they dash thy foot against stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended his dinner, he departed for him forever. Did he say that? For a while long? Tell me how long it says. If departed, temptation departed him for a what? Season. That means he's going to come back. You get victory over today, the devil's going to catch you at the weakest point, and he's going to try to tempt you again. And he's trying to start troubling churches. And Jesus returned to the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out fame of him throughout all the regions about him. And so, and look, verse 18 said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, they don't say about the rich, or he'll take the rich. But a lot of them think they've got money, they don't need Jesus. To the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind and set them at liberty, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, you see, all the work that Jesus did, see, he did it in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to turn your Bible. Boy, this is good here now. I made a cake and put an ice there on it. John chapter 14. Please turn there. Okay. Now, let me show you Scripture. I'm going back. What did I say to the title of my Holy Spirit? If you teach me what you taught Jesus, then I can do what Jesus did. Then I can do some of the things. I don't think I can walk on water, but I don't have the faith to do that. But anyway, they do the things. Now look here. John 14, verse 12. Now read it. 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, now we've all believed in it, we're Christian, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than you shall do, because I go to my Father. So therefore, we are challenged to do the work that Jesus did. It says right here, now John 14:12, I'll read it again. Surely, surely, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than he shall do, because I go to my Father. And was my ministry to cut short, 33 years, we're still here. Now, Jesus, we can do the same work that Jesus did and what he did. Now, we go back, what did he do? Well, to condense it some, he fed the poor. Huh? And a little boy gave him, you know, 2 loaves of fishes, and he fed the poor. He cast out demons, I can tell you some spooky things happening in my life, and it casting out. We can do what Jesus said. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. Now, I'm going to read this till you save time. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. You see now how that when the Holy Spirit will teach us what they taught Jesus, come upon us, and we depend upon the Holy Spirit, we can do the works that Jesus did. And he's challenging us. I'll read it again. 1 Peter 2:20. For even hereunto were ye called. You called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. You see. So, feed the poor. Jesus did that. Matthew 5:15-32, 7 loaves and fishes. Matthew 14:15, 2-5. I'm just reading this because it's time. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and 19:7. And then here's what I like. Someone said this morning, after I told about buying that fuel oil, that widow had no heat in the house. She said, "I'm going to find me a widow to buy something for her." Proverbs 19:7. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto money. You lend to God money. He that have pity upon the poor, lend us unto the Lord. That's what ye have given, we pay him again. That means when you and I buy somebody some groceries, we spend $20, $50, something like that. I tell you what, that's a blessing. You buy $20 worth of groceries, something other than put it on somebody's car if it's unlocked on top, or knock on the door and run and let them come and see them groceries there. I heard a story about a woman that was all the time praising God and witnessing to an agnostic. She said there wasn't any God. And so she was all the time praying and giving God the thanks of everything that happened during her life. And one night he slipped out, bought her a big bunch of groceries and put on her table and knocked on the door and ran and hid in the bushes. And she was praising God. Thank you, God. He said, I got you. He said, I went and bought those. God didn't do it. Thank you, God, that you used one of the devil's crowd. Thank you, God, that you used one of the devil's crowd to buy me groceries. She's just going to praise God, you see. And so, see, we can do, now we can feed the poor. You don't have to have $1 million. You know, I've seen the time where I'll buy groceries for anyone, but I won't let them do the shopping. If you go to the pastor tonight and tell them, boy, I need $300, I'll do it, but I won't let you go shopping. You're going to buy pop and ice cream. And you're going to say, and I don't know what all, you might buy some but what? But I want you to buy cancer. I want you to buy food. I want you to learn how to eat like us millionaires, eat pinto beans. You get them for 98 cents a can, 15-ounce can of peanut. You get it good, too. I had some yesterday, the day for you. So we can feed the poor. See, we can do what Jesus did. He fed the poor. And he that hath pity upon the poor, that's a good verse. You loan money to God when you help somebody. And God pays tenfold. I bought approximately 100 buses. I bought a 18-passenger van. I noticed some bus girls and boys that had been brought into Sunday school, and a man had an old van that rusted and about to fall to pieces. It looked like come over on a boat with Columbus. And sometimes on Sunday night, he'd bring them back, but it wasn't running, and they wanted to come to church. I went to pastor. I said, Pastor, I'll buy a new van. 15, 18-passenger van, whatever it is, providing it's for the poor people. It cannot sit on church property. People cannot borrow it. It's only for the people down and out to come to church to Sunday school. That man that's been doing that, he takes that van to his house. We put Metro Baptist Church on it. And so, and around the Metro Baptist Church, by the way, on that van, it said, let us help train your children. on that van. Let us help you train your children. That's a good slogan to put on. And I did, and so it's 18 passenger. I got it written down there. And so I did, I bought it. And then one, about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks later, he used both vans. He called me one night. I was in another state preaching. His brother Lennon said, we had 36 tonight on those two vans. And that. See, I can do what Jesus did. Huh? See, the more I do for Jesus, the more money he lets me make. Right? Boy, I'd like to cut loose here again. Again, I got $201,000 check in my pocket I gave. I said, Jesus, I better got to get into that. I tell you how God let me make $201,000. Because I said, God, isn't it good to be 87-year-old and say, God, I don't need any more money. I got more money to take care of myself I need. I'd like to make some money for you, God. I say that this week. I prayed off. God, let me make some money for you. It's a long story, but I made $201,000 from July to August the 2nd of year 2016. I got a copy of the check in my pocketbook, if you don't see it. And as quick as I got it, I sent it to Mexico, because I told God what I'd do with it. Way to get your prayers answered. God, if you give me this, this is what I'm going to do for you. You can get your prayers answered that way. You say, God, I want to do this. I like to have a new car. I'd like to have a $10,000 rate. God, what would you say if God said, well, what am I going to get out of it? Huh? You tell God what you'll do for him. Now, you'll get your prayers answered. God, there's some poor people in there. I'd like to have some overtime. And I'd like to have a few extra dollars Christmas or something like that. I'd like to buy some groceries, but we just don't have the money. And now, God, if you'll give someone another, you let me make $20, $50, I'll buy that family some, I'll buy that little boy a pair of shoes. Huh? And so, he said, and so I bought the bus and the started bringing those little boys and girls. And so, it's, he says, inasmuch as you've done it to one of these, least of these, you've done it to me, Holy Spirit. And so, now, like the woman at the well, John chapter 4, verse 7, the woman come to the well, draw water. Jesus was there. And Jesus said, where did you come here? He said, to get water. He said, I'm in the water business. You know what big term Jesus used when people to Christ? He said, but you drank the water I gave you. He said, you never thirst again. He said, I want some water. I want that water. She got saved. She went in town. Now, that woman had been married 5 times, living with a man. She was a good-looking woman. What do you think? And so, what do you think? Are you afraid to say? She went in town. We saw her. No use talking to her. You know, she's married 5 times and shagging. There's no use trying to win her. That's the way we looked at her, wasn't it? She went in and parked the entire town. I'm not going to rate park the entire town. Came out because this woman's saying, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. You see? See, we can do the same thing that Jesus did, providing that we'll claim his promise and do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. And I'd like to tell you some stories. I can't do it without crying. The girls that rode that bus, and their mama and daddy died. They got on drugs, and grandma and grandpa got them. And the grandpa died, and again, and grandma died, and they had nowhere to go. I saw them crying. And it's four of the girls that, brother, I said, four of them that you paid for that van to come on. Some out and bought them some clothes. It's a long story, but we can do. Jesus never did anything till he filled the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that's what God wants us to do. Can you think of somebody, what would you say and think, God, if you'd get me, let me make an extra $20, or you let me make some money, this is what I'll do with it. And you buy some clothes for a kid, or you find somebody that's down and out and love them. I can do that. I can do the work that Jesus did. That's what I try to do. Our Father, we pray your blessings, what's been said tonight. Yes, you've left us here. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'll go to my Father. Jesus said we can do it. If we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, with our heads bowed now. Just think what a joy it would be when you get to heaven and get the rewards.